Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Hey, look, I'm probably not the guy you'd pick as the poster child for hair loss treatment. I think most of you know I lost that battle a long time ago. But here's the thing. I wish Hims had been around when I was still in the fight, because Hims makes it genuinely easy. We're talking 100% online access to doctor-trusted treatments, finasteride, minoxidil, chews, serums, sprays, oral medication, stuff that can actually stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hassle, no surprise costs. If you still got something to work with up there, guys, don't wait until you end up like me. Hims makes it simple. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Hims.com/Zabe. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Selection Sunday has landed and we are here on the back half of March. Sunday was March 15th, Andy Poland. The Ides of March, the very day that the great Julius Caesar was assassinated. A tu brute?
Yes, well, you know your history.
I know my history, because I was like, isn't March 15th the Ides of March? And sure enough, it was. Well, yeah. Bruce Pearl's son got done in dirty, or done in proper, by the committee as they were left out of the dance. How about that? How you doing on a Sunday night?
I'm good. You know, look, I have a son. I love my son. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't deserve to get in. And Bruce Pearl is still being paid by Auburn. So there's a clear conflict of interest two ways there.
He is on the staff, or he's on the payroll.
Yeah.
At Auburn. Right. And even after they were let, you know, they were left out, he wouldn't stop with the futile lobbying he's been doing for the last several weeks. I want to play you this clip here. This was clipped by Awful Announcing. And then we can comment on it afterwards. But I have a theory about what Bruce Pearl did that maybe is a stretch, or maybe I'm spot on. Here he was.
Back to Oklahoma and Auburn. Oklahoma, only 4 quad 1 wins. Auburn, only 4 quad 1 wins. And then I think Auburn losing at home to Ole Miss was a quad 3 loss.
they win that game, I think they're in.
That turned out to be a better game than what people thought it was going to be because Ole Miss did so well in the SEC tournament. You know, Auburn won beat three champions this year. They beat Florida, they beat St. John's, and they beat Arkansas. They played the toughest schedule in the country. Don't know that they were rewarded for it. It's hard to get another couple of SEC teams in when the SEC already has 10.
Yeah, and I think the losses, when you look, we've not had a team one over 500 overall make the field as an at-large. We've had a couple that were two over 500, and they had a similar strength of schedule. So I think it was just the accumulation of losses that negated some of the big, big wins that Auburn had. It's because the first criteria is wins and losses. And I think that ultimately did Auburn.
And again, the results metrics, Auburn is 44th in wins above bubble. That's kind of right on that cut line. Even a couple of notches above would have helped. But bottom line, we always say it. If you put yourself on the bubble,
right,
you put the game in the hands of the refs.
There's no question. You got to either win your way in or lose your way in or lose your way out. For me, you always say, okay, if you're going to put one in, who would you take out? For me, SMU with a 191 out of conference strength of schedule. That, I don't know that they should have been rewarded. They only won five games away from home. And for me, it would have been either Oklahoma or Auburn.
All right. So there you go, Andy. Right. What do you make of old Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, again, you know, I understand defending your son, and I understand your allegiance to Auburn, but the fact of the matter is, were they a Final Four team last year, number one seed, and you got to, just like Seth Davis said, or one of Clark Kellogg, it's about wins and losses.
Yeah,
you got to win more games.
Right, win more games. There's another clip, I didn't have it here, but it was in which Clark Kellogg said basically, there's only been one time that a team that was only one win over 500 has ever made it as an at-large bid. And so I'm glad to see the committee not only got it right on Auburn, but they made Miami not the last team in. And they didn't shove them in Dayton. I thought for sure the Red Hawks were due to be put at the card table at Thanksgiving. They weren't, which is great.
No, that was nice. I was a little disappointed about Howard and UMBC.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, 40 miles apart, and they're going to have to schlep to Dayton, and one of them gets fed to Michigan. You know, that's just the way it goes.
UMBC back in the tournament for the first time since 2018 when they shocked the world and beat number one seed Virginia. Their social media account was on a generational run back then, and it's still very strong because today, Sunday morning, after they had clinched their bid on Saturday night, their official Twitter account said, one of the great things about getting an auto bid is I don't have to then go on and start lobbying against a 30-win team like Miami of Ohio, which was
right.
Pretty funny.
Ryan Odom, by the way, the guy who coached UMBC to that shocking upset, is now at Virginia, and I forget which of the ones on the CBS picked Virginia to be a Final Four team.
Yeah, potentially so. They got that huge shot blocker from Africa in the middle. He blocks three shots a game, human eraser. So, yeah, the tournament committee, I think, did it right. I also like the fact that Keith Gill, this commissioner from the Sun Belt, he's the best guy they've had up there doing this, explaining things that I can remember in a long time, really.
Because
plain spoken, he was logical, and he didn't twist himself into knots explaining what they did and why they did it.
But it was a lot more clear cut this year than it's been in the past. There wasn't that much carping about who didn't make it, so his job was easier. He also used the term scrubbing up. I'm not familiar with that.
Scrubbing up. Yeah.
Scrubbing up, yeah.
I don't know exactly. I do know that the shots of the committee meeting and, you know, sitting there around the big conference room table with the TVs, it's a bit much. You know, it's like, okay, we trust that your committee is actually meeting. You don't need to show us.
Look, I'm from an era where Maryland – didn't get in when they were number three in the country because they didn't win the ACC tournament. There were only 25 teams then. So if you got 68, you know, I mean, how hard really can it be?
And with the really weak coffee that was the first four out, the argument for expanding this thing, I don't think really got a shot in the arm. It doesn't mean, though, that the idea is dead, because all these conference commissioners, all these university presidents, they are whoring for their favorite thing in the world, which is not
a dollar, it's the next dollar. They love the next dollar. More money, more money, more money. And if they get beyond the 68, Andy, they will break this thing. I'm convinced.
Well, I mean, the NFL keeps pushing it too. Now they want a Wednesday game on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve. Are you for that or no?
Fine. You know, they play. I mean, I don't have to watch all these games. Right?
No, of course, I mean, not.
They're on all the time. And I saw Joe Lenardi saying he doesn't think the expansion is going to go to 72. He thinks it's going to go to 80. He said they're going to have basically play-ins for all four regions. So that's how they get it up to 80.
And you don't think that would break it as a...
What is breaking it? What is it? Because
it would be
the level...
Rendering it no longer an awesome, unifying cultural touchstone on the sports landscape. That's what I mean by breaking it.
Well, but the level for television is getting, you know, lower because you don't have to have the insane ratings. Plus, once you get it down to 16 teams, people have forgotten that they had 80 or 75, whatever it might be. So really, you know, once it gets down to that second to last weekend, it's the same tournament.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think a lot of the bowl games in football are evidence of, hey, these things won't survive anymore because they are truly and utterly irrelevant. Now, they've been kind of irrelevant for a while, but they're more so now that they've expanded the tournament in football. So I think the same thing could happen. There's a breaking point, Andy. You can't have a 128-team bracket, the likes of which the great Gary Williams, who I respect so much, lobbied for with us on the air once.
I don't know, Jake, his buddy Boeheim continues to do it, but the fact of the matter is that you're going to have 24 teams in the college playoff. See, the basketball to me is a lot less annoying than it is the football, because the great thing about the basketball is that on the top of the screen, if your game sucks, you can go over to True TV and you can watch a better game. In the football playoff, you're stuck with a game that could be lopsided and there's no other place to go. So the options of going to other games, I think, makes it more watchable.
Now, there's a very interesting piece of content Jason Whitlock had on Frank Martin, the former coach at USC, meaning South Carolina, not Southern Cal.
Now at UMass, right?
Frank Martin is now at UMass. He's a little crazy, but he's a good coach. And he basically explained how, look, the books are cooked, the system is rigged, and the little guys have no shot thanks to this new net rating. Here was Frank Martin with Jason Whitlock.
I was in the SEC. The Big Ten had gotten four teams into the tournament. The SEC had gotten three teams into the tournament. You know what we met about in the SEC? We got to change the RPI because the RPI has been tricked by the smaller schools to take our bids away at the big schools. So they went away from the RPI because people had figured out how to rig the RPI. And we inherited this new net formula. They hired some professor from MIT to help put it together. Well, all these metrics give us our numbers. I got 11 new players. How does anyone know what our so-called number is before the season starts? And 90% of the schools are just like us. Our number to start the year was 197. That was one of the better numbers in the MAC outside of Miami and Akron. So if all our number starts at 197 and nobody plays you, then all the big schools – when I was in the SEC, think about it. We got three in. We finished at South Carolina, top six in the SEC, six of my 10 years. We got in one time. Last year, they got 14 teams into the tournament. They rigged the whole system to protect the big conferences. It's what they did. I don't care if they get mad. I was in the meetings.
How about that?
What happened.
Yeah. Well, the other issue is the big schools are not getting the players from the smaller schools because they are getting the better players from the smaller schools. So the smaller schools don't have as much talent.
Well, it's even it's bad, and it's even worse for the mid majors because there's not the kind of nil money at the mid major level they have at Auburn and the likes. But the mid major coaches are selling good players to come play for them, saying, "I can't get you the money, but I can get you to the money in 1 year when you come here to McNeese State or Florida Gulf Coast and you ball out. Then you're going to go to Auburn or Michigan or Arizona or wherever and make a ton of cash."
Look, Gordon Hayward had the biggest miss in the history of the tournament. If his shot goes from half court and beats Duke, that goes down as the all-timer. He said in an interview this week, he likely wouldn't have been at Butler for that shot because he had a really good freshman year and somebody would have offered him $1 million to go someplace else.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't mean the tournament won't be great. The number of upsets, though, has been dwindling.
Right.
For sure. Statistically speaking. So, yeah, it's not as good as it used to be, but it's still pretty darn good. I did love the fact that I did whiplash when I saw 6 o'clock rolled around. I'm watching the end of the Players Championship on main screen. I got the left screen set to the basketball reveal. And I turn my head. I go, oh, my God, they're already doing the reveals of the seeds. They got into the seeding within 40 seconds of the open of the show.
They learned their lesson. Speaking of greed, remember when they did a 2-hour show and they rolled it out so slowly and all the insiders started tweeting out the brackets early? They learned their lesson. They don't do that. And also Seth Davis is on board with this because when they go around the horn and they do the little spiel, he's just said, "Hey, let's go to the brackets. You know, I don't have anything to say right now. Let me see the brackets and let's start talking about them."
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. All right, cut number four today, Rick Pitino. I mean, there is a case, Andy, because he's taken five different schools to the big dance, which nobody else has done. He has lifted a St. John's program with the help of Mike Riepoll, a.k.a. Vitamin Water's CEO, who's a billionaire and a St. John's alum and a Long Island guy. He has lifted that program back to the mountain, back-to-back years of regular season champs and conference tournament champs. There is an argument he's the greatest modern college coach ever. Are you willing to go there?
Modern meeting post-John Wooden?
Post-Robbie
Knight?
Not post-Knight. Let's call it post-Wooden. So you can include Knight in there. You can include, obviously, Dean Smith. You can include, of course, the rat-faced one, Mike Krzyzewski. But Rick Pitino as a pure coach's coach, pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, he's always kind of lived on the edge. He was escorted out of the building at Louisville.
Oh, well, I'm going to get to that part. There's a double-edged sword to all of this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. But yes, obviously he can coach. And he's in his 70s, and he's doing it at a level that he did 25, 30 years ago. It's crazy. But the money thing, you know, St. John's was able to pay players before anybody else. Did you know that?
No.
Because they don't have dorms. So they were able to pay players. So, like, for example, when Chris Mullin went there, he lived at home, and he collected the money that he would have gotten to have an apartment.
Lived at home. Where was home?
Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So he lived with his mom.
Yeah.
Took the housing money, which was substantial because New York rents are way up in the sky. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Walter Berry and Chris Jackson. He got a bunch of guys.
Walter the Truth Berry.
Yeah. That Louis was able to recruit New York that way. I'll give you the money. You get to stay at home. It's a good deal. Eat your mama's cooking.
Lou Carnesecca. When Lou Carnesecca and John Thompson both wore the same sweater in solidarity because of what was it Prop 9 or what?
No. You're mixing it up. Louis Carnesecca had a cold and he put on a sweater for a game and they won. So he kept wearing it.
It was an ugly sweater.
Ugly sweater. And so they had these were the two top teams in the country that year. They met four times. And 85. 85. And and they met at Madison Square Garden. The buildup to that was enormous. And Thompson came out with his, you know, his suit jacket on, and he opened it up, and he had a replica of the sweater underneath, and the place went nuts.
Oh, I got the picture right here. Let me call this up. What an ugly ass sweater this was.
Yeah,
there you go right here.
But they were winning, so Louis wasn't going to change. Yeah, and that's Thompson. Somebody made up a mock of the sweater, and he opened up his jacket. Well, that was the heyday of the Big East. Three teams in the Final Four that year from the Big East.
Well, you know, Pitino did say here's what he wants to see with the Big East, because he's not just happy that his team is good. He said it's great that UConn is on top. We need Georgetown back. We need Marquette back. I need to get my son to recruit good players. His son is at where is his son coaching now? We all need to get $10 million to spend. Everyone needs to get up there to get the greatness back to the Big East.
I don't think it happens though. You know why they were so good in 85? ESPN started in 79. They started doing the Big East. And kids who are coming home from school, especially like in the Western time zones, were watching like Big Monday that started at 7 o'clock in the East at 4 p.m. The pipeline of talent going to the Big East because they were going to be on television was a lot different then than it is now, where every game is on television.
Yeah, that is a great point. Then there's this about Pitino. So before we get to the dark side of Pitino, this is why he's viral. One of the great all-time coaches. This was him on Jimmy Fallon. Hold on a second. You can see this, right? So here was Pitino on Jimmy Fallon talking about a halftime speech that went viral because he pretty much laid into his players and said, "What's wrong with you guys? You're pussies. You're falling apart right now."
Coach Rick Pitino giving a halftime speech. Watch this.
You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your toughness? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the game of life. Not the game of basketball. You don't down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. The whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Yes! Learn how to deal with it! Yes!
Everyone sent that clip to me. It went all over the place. And who ended up winning that game?
We lost by 20.
No,
we won the game.
You won the game. That's exactly it. And you were there.
So that right there is part of why he's so good. It's not just the X's O's game management, which he's elite at. It's not just the being able to relate to the younger players, because he's an old dude now. I mean, look at him. It's that he has a great sense of being able to motivate, to go to the carrot and the stick when needed as a coach.
Okay, but I would say this, that I played high school football on teams that won 4 games in 3 years, and we heard a lot of halftime speeches like that. It's always good when you win.
You were under-athletic Jewish kids at a public high school. Of course.
Well, I understand that. But the point being is that stuff gets out when you win. And there's a lot of coaches that make those halftime speeches, and Pitino's right. You lose by 20.
All right. That said, the dark side of Pitino is the absolutely disgusting and shocking abdication of any leadership, values, and morality when he ended up banging a single mom booster in the back of an Italian restaurant, getting her pregnant, then paying for her abortion and trying to keep it all hush-hush as a purported devout Catholic. This was not just a, hey, I cheated on my wife kind of thing. This was a, bro, what are you doing? And then you couple that with the fact that at Louisville, he essentially deputized his assistants to go get paid prostitutes for recruits, even though he was able to kind of insulate himself. There is no smoking gun per se. He's still the head coach. You don't just get to go, oh, I had no idea that was going on. This is some serious slime on old Ricky Pitino.
Well, I agree. It's what, you know, winning is the great deodorant. He, if he wins, when he went to, where'd he go? The Long Island school where he said, this is it. This is my last stop. I'm done here.
Stony Brook?
It wasn't Stony Brook. It was a school he was at before. We checked where he was before St. John's. He's not St. John's. He's at the big time. And if he wanted to go someplace else, he could because he wins.
Iona.
Yeah, Iona. That's right.
He actually, between Louisville and Iona, he coached Panathinaikos in the Greek League.
Right.
Or
he loves to coach. That's what he does.
Panathinaikos, whatever it is.
He and Larry Brown, they coach till they, you know, can't do it anymore. He'll probably do another 5 years.
He's only 73.
Yeah.
He looks 83.
Well, he colors his hair, but he, you know, he got hired right out of college. He was hired. Jim Boeheim hired him as a top assistant right out of school.
Yeah. All right. So look, I'm almost 57 years old now. In fact, almost 58. And I've been feeling more and more of it every day. You know what I'm talking about. Things that used to be easy just, well, aren't anymore. The energy is not quite like it used to be. Recovery takes longer. Nobody really talks about this stuff. We don't want to. But here's the reality. Most men start losing testosterone around age 30 at about 1% every year. Do the math. By the time you hit my age, well, it's added up. That's why I just started taking Mars Men. MARS Men. Here's what got me interested. Your body actually makes testosterone, but a lot of it gets locked up by this protein called SHBG. It's like having money in the bank, but your debit card doesn't work. Mars Men is designed to help free that locked testosterone so your body can actually use it. No synthetics, no needles, just 8 natural, clinically dosed ingredients like Tongkat Ali, Shilajit, vitamin D, and zinc. Now look, I'm still early in, but I'm feeling good right now, and I know this. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, and they offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can't go wrong with that. I'm the king of returns, right? Over 91% of users report higher energy levels, and the reviews are legit. You can check them out yourself. For a limited time, my listeners will get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support the show and the Zabecast by telling them I sent you.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay, let's move on to the pro game. I have not gotten your thoughts on the Bam Adebayo 83-point farce against your Wizards, Andy. Your thoughts?
Look, this is what the NBA has sown, that they have a team that's trying to lose, and you have a team that got a guy hot, and so you know they took advantage of the rules, and they were allowed to foul, stop the clock, give them more shots. The Wizards are playing along; they're fouling them all the way. Look, there was a deep dive into Wilt's 100. There was a lot of this stuff going on there too. Like the Philadelphia Warriors were fouling the Knicks when they were up 30 to give Wilt more shots. So this is nothing new. It's just, you know, the way the NBA works.
Funny, because the Wilt thing, there's no video. Obviously, it was too many years ago. There's no film of it.
Nothing.
There's no photographs.
One photo.
One photo is in the locker room with the 100 written on a piece of paper.
Harvey Pollack.
Yes, there was account, there was a play-by-play account on radio that has preserved. I heard Pablo Torre do a deep dive on this with a journalist who's investigated it, and the journalist said, yeah, the Wilt 100 was unethical as shit as well, even though Wilt was averaging, what, 50 a game?
Yeah.
At the time? Mm-hmm. What was his average, Wilt?
Yeah, average 50, you're right. Yeah.
So,
and he averaged more than 48 minutes a game, never left the court.
Yeah, but you see, people, Andy believes that those players would be just as good today in the NBA as the players today.
Some would. Wilt would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just as good.
Yeah.
Wilt would be just as good.
If Wilt had the advantages of the modern training, yes, Wilt would be just as good. Wilt was an amazing athlete. He was like he was a high jump champion.
I know.
At Kansas. There's footage of him in high school playing against pros where he's dominating. He was one of a kind.
The thing that bothered me the most about the stupid Bam thing is it wasn't a record. He just passed Kobe. He just passed into second. So it's not like he even got a record unethically. He just moved up one spot in the ladder. It's just
okay. But the fact that the Wizards are one of like eight teams that are trying to lose, that's an indictment of the sport itself.
It sure is. That's part of it. Now, of course, Barkley had to go old school tough guy. Here's what Barkley had to say about if this had happened in my day, here's how we would have handled
in the building. We would have killed him back in the day. I'm not doing no hyperbole or anything.
Like, in my day,
let me tell you something. In my day, if you're 20 and shoot a three, we're going to put your ass in the stands. That was like an unwritten rule. I asked, we called like, hey, they're up 20. If they shoot a three, we call timeout like, hey, I can't tell you what teammates are like, we're going to give a bonus. Every time you knock the hell out of somebody who shoot a three, we're going to call that you get a bonus. You get out of the kiddie pool.
But Chuck, there also is an unwritten rule when you're playing with a guy that's
high. Is Charles right, do you think?
Chuck, I'm
giving it to him, right?
Look, the Kobe thing, you know, they were behind by 20 at the half against Toronto. So they needed Kobe to do what he was doing. You know, Charles did sort of play in that era. What was his last year? 2000, 2001, something like that.
Okay, yeah. It just smacks of, in my day, we would have killed him and his whole family and not even apologized for it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, the Kobe game was also pretty unethical because he was in full gunner mode as well.
Yeah, but they needed him to win the game, which is what he did.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But was it not a pretty low leverage regular season game?
It was, you know what it was? It was during like the NFC Championship and AFC Championship Sunday. It was something the Lakers, LA didn't have a team then, so they scheduled the Lakers for like that Sunday afternoon. And it didn't get a lot of attention on Monday because everybody was talking about the Super Bowl matchup.
I think maybe the greatest prolific scoring output game of all time in the NBA is Jordan in the playoffs as a rookie or second-year player against the Celtics, in which he scored like 63. And I forget who said the quote. They're like, that wasn't Michael Jordan. That was God in high tops.
That was Bird who said that. Also,
and
this probably would not be allowed to happen today, but Jordan missed most of that season with a broken foot.
That's right.
And they said, please sit out the rest of the year. There's some chance you could re-injure it and never play again. And he said, but there's also a chance I won't get hurt again. And he insisted on playing. Today, he'd be so valuable, they would have locked him in a vault and said, sorry, you're not getting out. You're not getting on the court.
Right. Speaking of guys not playing because they're injured, I saw this as the stat of the day. Joel Embiid has now missed more games in his NBA career than he has played.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm not even sure if that counts the first full season where he did not play at all. And it might have been, if I recall, more than one season, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was might have been two. He played very sparingly. Yeah, he hardly played.
How many seasons did Embiid miss before playing? Two full seasons.
Mm.
And the Sixers had to tank, famously, trust the process, was the saying, by their GM, who's now gone. I'm trying to remember the
Presti, name. Sam Presti?
No, it was not Presti.
Hinkie?
Yes, Hinkie. Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he won the MVP, Embiid, the 1 year he was, like, healthy about 3-4 years ago. But that's not worth it. Like, the fact that there's people paying money to go see games knowing that their team is trying to be that bad, then they get a player who's supposed to be a difference maker, and he's so chronically injured you don't see him for 2 whole years?
And that, now I don't think he's ever able to play a back-to-back. I don't think he ever plays a back-to-back.
He's pretty much trashed, yeah. Okay. Speaking of back in my day, Joe Benigno. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
FAN, the flagship and the mothership of sports radio in New York, a station that you helped start up in your career early on, went on a rant the other day to a caller saying WFAN and sports radio in general will never be what it once was. He said, quote, "I know I work part-time there. The days of Imus, the days of Mike and the Mad Dog, the days of Steve Summers, myself overnight, all that, Eddie Coleman and Dave Sims, those days will never see anything like that again. The heyday, we've all seen the heyday of the fan and sports talk radio in general."
Well, I mean, the heyday, they didn't have Sirius XM. They didn't have podcasts. You know, there's a stat now that there are more people listening to podcasts for spoken word than on radio.
Yeah.
You know, so he's right about that. He also said, oh, I couldn't commute into the city every day to do that anymore. They're not asking you to do that. They only want you to do Saturday morning. You're old now, Joe. That's what they're offering you. They're not saying, please work every day, because they don't have a shift for them anymore.
All right. But what about, though, those of us in the business running down our own business, whether it's true or not? Shouldn't we sort of pull back from saying that? And not feed into the whole, oh, yeah, this place has jumped the shark. Like, if I was the program director or the station manager, I'd pull them aside and I'd say, what the fuck? We're struggling. We're trying to stay relevant in a very challenging day and age. We don't need you saying this because it's going to make headlines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he also, when he was still working 5 days a week, he used to say, oh, I can't wait to retire to Miami. I can't wait to retire to Miami. And then he did, and he came back. So I don't know what the deal is with him.
Did you know him personally?
No, he actually, when I don't even, yeah, I think I was there, but he was a caller. He was Joe from Saddle River.
Really?
And that led him to, you know, I think they would have these open mic tryouts, and I think he won one of those and got a chance to do an overnight shift or something like that. And that led to him becoming the overnight guy for a while.
All right. Other media notes, this doesn't apply to you because you've already canceled fully your print and digital subscription to the Washington Post after they nuked the sports section. However, Washingtonian Magazine reports that many Post readers have been notified via email that their subscription rates are set to increase. That's not the end of it, though. Nestled at the bottom of the emails, there's an asterisk with the following notation. This price was set by an algorithm using your personal data. What?
Yeah. I'm a little confused about this. Does that determine what your rate is?
Yes.
How is that used?
Start with your zip code. So when you're in zip code, the first thing they cross-check is what's the median income, and they realize, oh, yeah, affluent D.C. suburbs, boom, higher rate, because they'll put up with it.
Yeah.
Like, what? What a middle finger. It's almost like they're trying to kill everything that's left of whatever is the Washington Post.
And I look, I don't know how business works, but you heard all kinds of crazy things when Bezos bought the paper, including that he was going to use it for delivery. Like you might get a Washington Post paper and a toaster, you know, delivered to your front door. But then it just became in the last 6 months, it's become something totally unrecognizable.
Yeah. That said, many of the Post reporters have been picked up either by The Athletic or by ESPN. They're sports reporters. I didn't see whether our friend Gene Wong is part of that group.
I haven't either. I know I talked to Gene, and he said he was planning to take some time off. He gets a very big severance since he was there for so long.
Nice.
But also, I saw something else where they're looking at possibly bringing some of these people back.
That as well.
Because they realize, like, they've probably missed a very big money opportunity with the NCAA tournament. They used to put out a special section.
Yeah. I mean,
there probably was a lot of money in advertising that went out the window when that went away.
You know what? Nothing would shock me with the pinheads they brought in to run that place. And so, yeah, too bad, but let them scramble. Okay, where did you go to get your Commander's first week of free agency report card opinions about who they bought and whether or not Adam Peters is doing a great job, so-so job, or is an idiot who should be fired?
I looked in on what John Keim had a lot. I used to be able to go to the Washington Post.
That's what I'm saying.
Barry's Verluga or Liz Clark or some of the people that used to work there. But, you know, sadly, that doesn't exist anymore.
So the big purchase was Odafe Owe, defensive end from the Chargers by way of the Ravens. He was a former number one pick. He got a four-year deal, $100 million. Those numbers, of course, are just the agent's top-line numbers. They're not real, actual guaranteed money. And then a tight end from your beloved University of Maryland, where you are still a season ticket holder.
I am. Second year in a row. I'm coming back. Yep.
Ig Okonkwo, a pass catcher. 3 years, $30 million. And then just a sprinkle of a bunch of money around to a bunch of guys, a lot of defensive guys. They're bringing back a couple familiar faces. Tim Settle, D-tackle, he's back again. And wide receiver De'Ami Brown is back again.
Right. The oldest guy is Settle, who's 29. So clearly they're going in a youth movement. I don't think Zach Ertz or Bobby Wagner are going to be back. So, I think, though, this is going to be a more realistic reset. And what happened in the 2024 season, I don't think is going to happen over the next 2 years. I think they're gearing for maybe 3 years down the road when they can really be a competitive team.
3 years down the road.
That's not to say they can't be a playoff team in the next 2 years.
That's year five of
James. I understand. But the roster was so decimated. The other thing is, you know, you hope that Jaden Daniels can match what he did as a rookie, but it's probably not realistic. You know, and the running game, you know, the NFL has always tweaked rules very carefully. And I just wonder, with the way the running back has become more important, that they looked at the quarterback position, they go, oh my God, we're going to go broke with these guys. We're paying these guys, you know, $60 million a year, and sometimes they suck. Look at the Kyler Murray situation where the Cardinals are on the hook for $99 million. So have they tweaked it in a way that the running back is a lot more important now than it was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know.
I remember RG3's rookie year.
Yeah.
And he was cooking at a rate that I said, I don't think he can't get much, because some people were like, hey, look at what he's doing, and he's only a rookie. And I'm like, I think this is not sustainable, because he's kind of at the peak of production, and some people got super mad about that. Well, he was at 65% completions by the end of the year of his rookie season, played 15 games, missed one game famously with that knee injury, and then had 20 touchdowns or 5 INTs passing. But as far as rushing touchdowns, let me scan to rush.
He ran for 850, I remember. I don't know how many
touchdowns. He also ran for 850 yards. Well, he never touched any of the numbers again in his career, except for the 68%. He barely topped it with a lot fewer yards in 2014. when he only played seven games. So, you know,
No, well, the thing with him was what the Shanahan said was, look, he never had a playbook at Baylor. He's not ready for an NFL offense. So we're going to use his skills with this offense we have. We're going to take the league by surprise, which they did, assuming that RG3 would become a film nerd. He didn't. He was only interested in showing you how many push-ups he could do and pull-ups, and he made his own video and all that. You know, the league is about the quarterback position. It's about knowing the position. You know, Tom Brady doesn't run much faster than I do. Peyton Manning, you know, he and I might finish in a dead heat, but they know the game. They know the game inside and out.
All right. Cut eight, the rise of Fanta. There is no replacing a legend like Dick Vitale, who was calling the ACC championship game with a bit of a hoarse voice because, you know, he's had all kinds of vocal cord problems. He's had cancer. Thank God that he's beaten cancer, but he's 80, how many years old now?
He's 83, I think.
83, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe the next Vitale, maybe, is this guy, John Fanta, who was really blowing up during the Big East tournament because he was doing these little vignettes at the end of the night on Peacock/NBC. I'm going to play this for you right now where, you know, he delivers these things very well. It's like an on-camera essay, the likes of which that Jimmy Roberts used to do.
Jack Whitaker.
Before him.
Exactly. Here was John Fanta talking about the Big East tournament.
And that man is Zubi Ejiofor. He is an All-American. He cemented himself as that on this Saturday night in New York City, and he is the first individual that can say this. He is the player of the year in the conference, the scholar athlete of the year in the conference, the defensive player of the year in the conference, and now the Dave Gavitt Trophy winner, the most outstanding player award winner in the league. Dave had to smile upstairs on this Saturday night because 20,000 plus in here when you combine the fans, the media, and everybody else. And they were talking and raving and cheering for Big East basketball. And while it wasn't the UConn Huskies night, they were part of this evening. And they're on to the NCAA tournament. And we'll see what's in store for them because they've shown what they can be capable of. But on this night, it belongs to St. John's. And with the banners up top in this building, holding those moments of yesteryear, Rick Pitino is showing that not only is it still possible, it's become reality for the Johnnies.
And then the walk-off camera followed by the camera pan and tilt to the logo and the empty court with the workers sweeping things up. That's good.
That's a Whitaker delivery. He did that in golf all the time. He did that for the NFL. And Fanta also does play-by-play. He doesn't do color, right?
He does play-by-play, I want to say, for Xavier, somewhere in Ohio. He also does a ton of podcasts. Here's the thing about Fanta. First of all, I realized visually what he is with his horn-rimmed glasses, his round face, his husky sort of physique, and the slick back hair. He is almost like a combination of Chris Farley,
yeah,
Tommy Boy, with Ralphie Peters. Or Ralphie Parker. Ralphie Parker in A Christmas Story, played by Peter Billingsley. You combine those two. That's who he is. But he's also unapologetically authentic, which is a great thing. And he's passionate and knowledgeable. And that will take you a long way.
Yeah. No, he's not a screamer. You know, the post Vitals, they all became screamers. And this guy.
PT's here, baby. Diaper dandy, baby. Yeah,
that begat Stephen A. Smith. You know, that's, you know.
Did you ever see early clips of Vitale early clips of Vitale calling games on ESPN back in the day?
And it sounds normal. Yeah. He became a character of himself and he realized, you know, what he tapped into. Good for him.
Oh, God. Fanta went to Seton Hall, but he's a Cleveland guy, born in Cleveland, and he is currently broadcasting. I'm just trying to scan here where he's calling games for, but he does a ton of stuff. So good for him as his star is on the rise. Okay, last ad here, Andy. I think you and I are both big fans of one Larry David.
Yes.
Larry David, who went to Maryland, correct? Okay. Larry David, whose first, obviously, big contribution to the societal landscape was Seinfeld. Right. The second one was sort of an echo of Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's a third echo coming in June that's based on the history of America and 250 years. Are you aware of the new Larry David sketch comedy coming out?
I'm aware of it. I don't really know what the format is going to be. Is it going to be similar to Curb?
Episodes with four little sketches embedded in each one, all of them playing on historically significant events in America's history, 250 years of it, but with your typical Larry David neurotic, twisted sense of humor, including the likes of, you remember VJ Day when they declared the war over and there was the iconic photo of the sailor kissing the nurse, bending her over backwards? Larry David goes into the crowd just as a civilian, not having fought in the war, to a woman that was he didn't even know and starts to try to kiss her.
That's funny. There's got to be some stuff like the Curb where he got dog crap on his shoe and he took shoes from the Holocaust victims and put those on. Remember that? I mean, there's got to be some dark stuff in here too, right?
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. It's called Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness. And it's described as a sketch comedy about American history to honor the 250th anniversary.
Get your mitts off me, Buster!
No, the war's over. The war's over.
Get off of me!
We're celebrating. We're celebrating.
What are you, some kind of sicko?
No, everybody's pissing.
No, they're not. Only you.
No, not just me. I saw
people. Pervo. Pervo fucko.
No, Pervo fucko. I'm not Pervo.
Yes, Pervo. I'm someone's girl.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Johnny.
What, Johnny? No, Johnny.
Yes, Johnny. No, Johnny.
What the fuck?
Get over here.
Johnny?
Is this creep bothering you, Agnes?
Yes.
No, Johnny.
This Pervo.
I'm all about this, Andy. This is right up my alley in terms of humor. Now, somebody did say on Twitter, they said, if there's not at least one sketch in which he asks Rosa Parks to switch seats on the then the episode has failed.
Absolutely. You know that's coming.
My God, that's so wrong. All right, well, count me down for that in June on HBO. You got to subscribe to HBO or have somebody who has a password.
The thing, though, that will probably make that work is he sets it up by this Curb Your Enthusiasm. If this is like a standalone, nobody really gets it. But by now, you know the whole Larry David persona.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Andy, you know, I hate to bring this up because it's a continuous bone of contention with you and I. On Monday, we are due to get some of the worst weather of anywhere in the country, a strong dual line of thunderstorms, wind, possible tornadoes, possible hail, possible flooding. It's being dubbed a weather alert day on Monday in the DMV. And my saying to you has always been, we get the worst of all the different weather more than any other part of the country.
And you've been saying that to me for 15 years, and I noticed that you haven't moved yet.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Did you like Thursday, where we had all four seasons? Woke up, it was 73 degrees. By the afternoon, we had snow, and then sunshine again before dinner.
Listen, I did not care for it per se, but, you know, this is the kind of thing where at least if you go and live in somewhere like Arizona, it's never going to snow. At least you got that. We get the worst of every bit of weather, including some very volatile weather. So better than my friends in the upper part of Wisconsin and Michigan, where they're getting 2 feet of snow. My former radio colleague, Brian Butch, is looking at 2 feet of snow into Monday. He's supposed to drive down to Madison, 2-hour drive from Appleton, to get on the team plane to fly to Portland to take on High Point, and it's going to be an Iditarod run with dog sleds for him at this point. So.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, Buffalo, too. Buffalo, they get like 4 feet, but they're used to it. They know how to deal with it.
They're used to it, and people live there, Andy, by choice.
Right. Which is same with me. I live here by choice, and I don't kvetch about the weather. You live here, and seemingly by choice, but kvetch about the weather, which you could do nothing about.
Well, it's my right. It's also called the way that I cope. So let me deal with my cope. All right. Andy Pollin, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for picking up the phone today, and we will see you next time. That'll do it for me on the Zabecast. Thank you for downloading, rate, and review. Tickle the algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a fantastic Monday. And if you're in the DMV, hunker down and bring those pets and plants and cushions in from the couch. And we will see you on the other side.